Welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. On this podcast, you'll hear stories to encourage, inspire, and empower you to be the best healthcare advocate that you can be for yourself or for a loved one. The information provided in this podcast is not to be used for any medical advice. This is for information only and to support you in your journey. Please consult with your physician and medical team. In fact, share your favorite episode with your team and ask questions from that.
Christine with the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast, and today I'm going to do a solo podcast, and I just wanted to talk with everyone a little bit about Dr. Google or Googleitis, and just wondering when exactly Facebook started giving out medical degrees or healthcare degrees, because right now there are lots of resources out there on the internet, a vast amount of information, but not all information is accurate or valid for you. And so even though I do think learning about disease processes and other people's experiences can be extremely powerful and helpful, I also think we can often get stuck in thinking that there is that one thing out there that we need to buy or be prescribed, or there's that one thing that my doctor needs to do before I can get better. And a lot of that, I feel, is heightened with all of the chatter that we hear on social media and all due to all of the information on the internet. Often I feel like there is an information overload and things are changing so fast, and you know, each week different supplements or different medications are being featured, either good or bad, and it can be really difficult to look at it. And I'm not here to talk badly about the pharmaceutical industry as a whole, but because there are definitely times that medications are the only thing that we can take to kind of bring ourselves back to a state of health or help us not go further into the state of disease. But there are so many other things that we can do just at a baseline, just to take care of ourselves. And when we get kind of caught up in the newest and greatest and latest fad or the newest and greatest medication, I think we tend to forget about all the things that we actually have control over right now. Of course, those things like a clean diet, getting plenty of rest, and having reduced stress in our lives, whether that is due to schedule or money stress, job stress, whatever it is, stress of a diagnosis, I'm trying to manage all of those things and keep everything in check. You know, stress on its own is a good thing. It can help drive us forward. It keeps us safe. It makes sure that we're not going to be in danger, or that we can get out of danger if that's the case. But it's that chronic stress that contributes to that chronic disease process. And so again, we can search Google all day for the answer, and I'll tell you that I've been there on websites and looking for that one thing that's going to help myself or that one thing that's going to help my child. And really, when it comes down to it, that's just a lot of wasted energy, because more importantly, it's going to be those things closer to home, those things that we actually can control right now in our day-to-day lives. Those things matter. Diet does matter. Absolutely. That's the fuel that we're feeding our bodies, not only our body as a whole, but then breaking it down to each individual body system, each organ that makes up each body system, all the way down to the cellular level. And it is an incredibly complex process that requires a lot of, it's not difficult, but it does require us to eat a variety of healthy food. And unfortunately, as I'm sitting outside of a grocery store right now recording this, you know, over 50%, I think that's a little bit on the low side, I would say probably closer to 70% of that grocery store is food-like products. The actual food is going to be sitting in the produce aisle and in the meat department. Everything else is processed, and when they process things to either have it sit on the shelf longer, allow it to be made more cheaply, in the long run does not benefit us as a consumer. So back to my original topic, if you are going to be using Facebook groups, your Facebook page to gather information or to help you make healthcare decisions, or just searching out information and answers on Google, I have a few things that I think we all should consider. So absolutely, go ahead and gather information. There's nothing wrong with gathering information because you're going to learn things that you didn't know. And it's going to give you some other avenues to explore. But you, myself, even as a layperson, doctors even with medical degrees, don't know everything about the human body. Now, some of us, based off our experiences, definitely know a lot more than others. But again, we kind of are all looking at it through our own lens. And when we do that, especially as we get more specialized, sometimes even worse as a doctor, we only see things through one lens. So it is absolutely great to bring in other viewpoints and to solve a problem a different way. But that conversation needs to happen with your healthcare provider, not just you and the individuals on Facebook who are sharing what they did to fix their problem. Really, that conversation should be had with you and your healthcare, your team. Again, understand that one person's experiences is that one person's experiences. Pretty much, if you know one person with a disease, you know one person with that disease, that affects them differently than it may help affect you. And there absolutely will be similarities, but everybody is a unique person. Our body metabolizes medication differently. We'll have different comorbidities that other people don't have. The information that one person might have received may have just been a placebo effect for them. And yay for them that it worked. But if it's not evidence-based, you know, we can't go out and say that this is that right answer. Even with diet, there are so many different diet options out there, and there's lots of great information and books that doctors and healthcare professionals have written. But it is important to understand when we want to be on a diet, especially if we're restricting different food groups, whether we're restricting macronutrients, those large carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, or more micronutrients. We want to make sure that we understand exactly what that's going to do to our bodies long term. And that's where, you know, consulting with your physician, we hope that they are on board with that. And if they're not, again, that's where we need to be advocating for ourselves, because we want to be healthy and we don't want to cause other problems down the road, especially if that means contraindications with certain medications, or we're noticing any sort of abnormal symptoms or symptoms that are persisting. You know, symptoms are just that. They're symptoms of something, but what is that something? Doctors do have to be that detective, and we hope that you are going to a provider who is going to work alongside you through that detection process to figure that out. Often, especially when we're talking with diet, there is no test to run. The gold standard is elimination diet, but that in itself can be tricky. It doesn't have to be, but it can be, particularly if you're looking at doing an elimination diet for an entire family. It takes a lot of planning. It's not impossible, but it definitely isn't something that you can just do one day and then off another day. So it does take quite a commitment and planning and some research in advance, making sure that your meal plans are set up. And if that is something that you choose to do, absolutely there are health care providers out there, nutritionists, dietitians, I'll say physical therapists who have the right training in nutrition are there with meal plans available for you so that you have something to stick to and you're not compromising any of your health by restricting your diet. So, you know, if you are going to be using the internet, check it out and make sure that it's a reputable site, that, you know, are they referencing research? That's great. Then, is their research peer reviewed? Are they using meta-analyses, which would be to a greater degree of information? You know, what's their sample size? Sometimes you don't get that in the little article or in the 2-minute news blurb that you hear on the news. But if you can go to the actual research article, you don't have to read through the whole thing, but getting through the abstract and the conclusion can tell you a lot, because the researcher should be saying what are the limitations to their study. They're going to tell you their sample size. Was this a sample size of 10? Or are we talking about thousands of people? So, you know, even without any sort of medical degree, you can still distill that information down just so you can kind of understand the weight or how much are you going to consider this study or this article based off of, you know, how many other studies also showed this information. And in conjunction with other people's experiences, of course. But bottom line, you know, be aware of sites that are offering quick fixes, because that they do that on purpose, right? We know this. We know this from a logical standpoint, that everybody's out there to sell us something and they're wanting us to buy their product because that company wants to make a profit. That's how our world works. But you don't have to just jump on the bandwagon just because they've got a nice, pretty website and they've got a pretty girl telling you what to buy. We really need to go ahead and look into that further. What are the ingredients of that product? Where was that product made? What's the source of the ingredients? Do they do any sort of quality testing to make sure what they say is in the bottle is really in the bottle? Knowing is that supplement or that product that you're purchasing going to interact with any of the current medications that you're taking? If you're so inclined not to tell your doctor that you're taking this medication, that should be kind of like a red flag to you thinking, maybe there's a reason why am I concerned to tell my doctor? We should want to share that information with them. And if the doctor doesn't approve, then they can tell us why. Again, maybe something we're not aware of, something that could be something life and death, depending on the other medications that you are taking. So, if you have a particular chronic disease or illness, there are definitely associations that are out there that are national associations or national organizations that are going to have some good, valid research. So that's where I would spend my time, is looking at those sources or other articles that are referencing those sources. National Institute of Health, it provides a lot of research too. And just being aware of, you know, contributors to the research. Again, it'll say in the abstract, you know, if there was any conflicts of interest. that the researchers had. And that's important because if the research is only done by the drug company who is selling this pharmaceutical, their research may be a little skewed or a little biased. And again, they're looking at it through their lens of a pharmaceutical to help fix a problem. And I would say if that's needed in the short term, okay. But talking with your doctor, what's the plan to get off this medication? How long will I be on this medication? What other lifestyle changes can I make? And then commit to one small change. Because yes, we can take pills, and yes, that's easy to pop a pill in the morning or two times a day or three times a day. And yes, it might be more time consuming to change our diet and lifestyle. But really, if we want long-term lasting results and movement toward our optimal health, what is our capacity for health? And everybody's different, right? I mean, we have different genes, we have different family history, but our environment plays an incredible role. And when I say environment, I'm not just talking about our physical environment. I'm talking about what we're eating, what we're doing, how much we're sleeping, our hydration levels. Are we drinking a lot of alcohol, more than one glass of the red wine a day? All of that in total, because all of those things make up our health. And do we have to fix them all at once? No. But again, as you're searching the internet and as you're looking online for information on how to fix your problem, you understand that that one issue or those series of symptoms do link together to other body systems, that we are not just a digestive tract. We are not just a musculoskeletal system, that those systems are related to one another, and one function or impairment in one body area will impact others. And, it's not always something that we have control of. There's definitely genetic changes that people have that we don't have control over. But again, how do we optimize what your genes, what your family history is? So I would love to hear your thoughts on that. And, again, here I am broadcasting on the internet in this podcast. And so why would you believe me? I would hope that this is kind of common sense to you, that you know this at your core, that we don't want to just follow the latest and greatest fad. Fear and mistrust in our healthcare system as a whole has made us kind of turn to alternative methods of healthcare. And I really feel that we need a blend. I think that the Eastern traditions or more ancient traditions have a lot of benefit and place. And now we're starting to actually do more research into those areas. And these complementary and alternative medicines can absolutely be helpful, or at least not harmful, for managing our health and, compared to other more allopathic paths. So I'm absolutely all for using alternative treatment methods. I do myself with my patients on a daily basis, using mindfulness meditation to help us access a different part of our brain when we're thinking about goals and behavior change, as it addresses pain and lifestyle choices for movement and function. So as a physical therapist, absolutely, I do use complementary and alternative medicine. I'm level one Reiki, always transmitting this life force energy. So do I bill for that? No, but it's part of my treatment plan, because I believe in it, and I believe that I can help people with some of these alternative methods. But at the same time, I definitely use exercise principles, strength training principles, balance, coordination, stability, looking at all of those traditional interventions as well. So the same goes for you in a medical model, looking at how you can integrate these complementary and alternative medicines or treatments or interventions alongside allopathic medicine, and especially looking at what you can control with your diet, your lifestyle, the amount of stress, the amount of sleep that you're getting, because even though food is ubiquitous, it is all around us all the time. It is the foundation for our energy, and energy in, energy out. Now, I'm not to say that the calories you intake is, you have to burn more than you intake. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the vibrancy of the foods that we're eating, the variety of the foods, the nutrient density of the foods that we're eating, and where those foods were grown and how those foods were processed and brought to us, how long it took them, all those things impact our health. And we should strive to first get that, clean up that garden, because the Band-Aids that we often rely on as first line of defenses are really just that. I've read a book a while ago that gave the example of if you were in a river, fell out of your raft and you're floating down the river, that life jacket that you're wearing is only going to be good enough. That life jacket, the Band-Aid of different medications, is only going to be good enough once the rapids get stronger. So whatever environment you're in, as that becomes more turbulent, or as that environment becomes harder for you to manage, that life jacket of whatever you're using to kind of keep you afloat isn't going to work as things get rougher. And you need to start bringing your environment, the things that you can control, into more of balance. And that's really what it's all about. So use the internet, gather the information, talk with friends and family members, get other people's opinions, but then absolutely you must consult with your doctor and have these hard conversations. And that's where being a healthcare advocate for yourself or a loved one is of the utmost importance, because you want to find that provider who's going to listen to you, and you want to find that provider who can stand up alongside you and help you reach that optimal level of your best health. So thank you so much for joining me. And we'll talk, get together soon and talk to some more guests. All right, thanks. Hey, it's Christine, host of the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast, and I wanted to just talk with you today about a volunteer organization I started about 6 weeks ago for parents who are in the hospital with their kiddos who are sick after a surgery or perhaps as a newborn. And this is called Nightlight Inpatient Parent Support Hotline, and it's a way for parents to connect with other parents who have been there before. So Kristen Parsons and I have hooked up together to get this started here in Denver, and we are off to a great start with a nice group of volunteers willing to talk with parents who are currently in the hospital. Now we need a little more support to get us actually in the hospitals, get our name and phone number available to as many people as possible, not only here in Denver, but across the United States. So please help us by sharing this episode and letting people know about Nightlight Inpatient Parent Support. And also, there will be some advertisements coming on the podcast here to help us with our funding for different supplies and advertising materials. So that's what we're using the money for. If you have any questions, I'll be putting the link to the hotline in the show notes. And thank you so much for your support. Hey there, it's Christine from the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. Would you like to be featured on this podcast and share your healthcare advocacy story? Then sign up on the Sign Up Genius link under the description of this podcast, and we'll talk soon.